Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
Oh, yes, we are back and better than ever. Wherever you are, however you're listening, we thank you for joining us this morning and welcome to the Ron Kelly Show on the third day of spring that was punctuated by a snow event on the first day of spring. Now, the snow has already melted, so I guess we have to press the reset button on a proper start to the spring season. Very nice day going on today. Thank you so much, everybody. Once again, for joining me this morning, it's the Ron Kelly Show. We'll have the pleasure of welcoming former mayor of the city of Irvington, New Jersey, and the president and CEO of Wayne Smith Associates, Mr. Wayne Smith, the honorable, still honorable Wayne Smith, who will be joining us in just a minute or two. And also joining us this morning is the former Newark official, Mr. Earl Scott. Good morning. Who we have on the line here?
This is me, Ron.
Hello?
Good morning. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning. I can hear you.
Okay. How's everything going today?
I'm doing well.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Is this Wayne?
No. This is Earl Scott.
Oh, hello, Earl. How are you? I was just in the process of introducing you, former Newark official, Mr. Earl Scott. Good morning, Mr. Scott. How are you today? How are you feeling on this beautiful Sunday morning?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kelly. I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I look forward to your show this morning. I couldn't wait.
Great. I'm great to have you here. I'm also waiting for Wayne Smith, you know, former mayor of the city of Irvington, Wayne Smith, who's joining the show. Wayne Smith. You know, we used to do a show together called Wayne's called Inside Irvington, myself and Wayne Smith at Seton Hall University Radio, WSOU. So we're looking forward to having him on the show as well, my good brother. So we're looking forward to, you know, we're looking forward to having a great show today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And once again, however you're listening, this is you're listening via the text cell phone, if you're listening on desktop. However you're listening, we thank you so much for joining us this morning. We got a whole lot to talk about this morning, so thank you so much, everybody, for joining us once again. I know I thank you ad nauseum, but it's really important to make sure that the audience knows that we really appreciate you taking your time out and listening to the program, because there's a lot of other things that you could be listening to, but you've chosen to listen to us, so we thank you for that. All right, coming up this morning, we're talking about the black man found hanged in Mississippi, right around the time that everyone was crossing the bridge, Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, commemorating the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Civil Rights Act. You know, Brother Earl, and it's almost as if someone was sending a message saying, like, look, things have not gotten that much better, and that's been my sentiment all along. Also, the GOP, once again, is using extortion, and they're pretty good at that, to try to get their way by holding up the Loretta Lynch, confirmation vote. Loretta Lynch, who is the nominee to take over the Eric Holder spot at the AG Department of Justice. And she's been waiting longer than anyone else. Any other AG nominee has ever waited in the history of the United States of America. And once again, the GOP is using extortion because they want to fold something into that they can't get past President Obama. So we'll be talking about that as well. And also, thirdly, people, are we sticking our heads in the sand, Brother Earl, regarding black-on-black crime? Now, we hear and see angry folks on social media all the time, ad nauseum, talking about police brutality and other injustice, but no one is addressing the black-on-black crime issue. Now, what's a bigger threat? Personally, I'm more worried about being carjacked or robbed by someone who looks like me, far more than I am about the police. And the bigger threat, I think, is black-on-black crime. Now, what can be worse than having to worry about your own kind rather than some other ethnic group? Now, I'm going to start out this conversation. I believe we have Mayor the former mayor of the city of Irvington on the line. There's still Honorable Wayne Smith. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, sir? Good to
doing
be with
well,
you this
doing
morning.
Well. Absolutely wonderful to have you here, sir. We appreciate it. Had a great meeting with you last Monday. Had a good time, as we always do. Former Mayor Mayor Smith, we did the we have a history. We did the show called Inside Irvington back in the day, way back in the day. WSOU and way back in the day, WSOU, Seton Hall University,
absolutely.
That's right, in South Orange, New Jersey. And also we have on the line as well, Mayor Smith, we have Earl Scott, who is a former official of the city of Newark, and we'll give Mr. Scott an opportunity to talk to us about what his job was there and how the transition left Mr. Scott out in the cold, so to speak, which happens when new administration takes office. Right, new administration takes office. All right, I'm sure there's still some people who had when the Smith administration took over. I'm sure there might have been a few people left on the sideline. They may still be holding resentment because with that look, politics is politics. Anyway, all right, so we're gonna start out this morning by talking about the black man. I should give the man respect by identifying him, but you probably know that there was an African American, black man. I like to say it takes too long to say African American, a black man who was found hanged in Mississippi, hanged. And in I believe it was Georgia. I might be mistaken.
Mississippi.
It was Mississippi. It was Mississippi. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now the circling the wagons and saying, well, you know, maybe he hung himself or anybody. You know, let me ask you first, Mayor Smith. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know that they're circling the wagons and they're saying that he might have killed himself, right?
Well, listen, we do want to wait to see what kind of investigation comes out and what the ultimate answer is, but it raises suspicion. In a place with the historical context like Mississippi, that a black male in particular would be found hung. So it would be best for the authorities there to make sure they do a thorough investigation, not let loose tongues surmise and say things before they have concluded, because they're always under a suspect by the nature of the historic role. And when you talk about history, because I heard you earlier as I was entering the conversation, talk about some of the things we're going to talk about today, and one of those is black-on-black crime, and also this whole issue of policing. So history has a way of rebounding. If we don't watch history and learn from the lessons from it, history will repeat itself. And what I see happening in this cycle of my life is a number of the things that I saw in my young years beginning to repeat themselves.
Right. And now, brother, I understand you, Mayor Smith, and I'm sure that you know you have a lot of experience in standing in front of the cameras and having to say, say what you just said. In other words, saying we need to wait until.
The public itself is going to be suspect from the rip. And, of course, personally, I have my own thoughts about it. But I think the authorities, for them to even come out to even surmise and say, well, he may have hung himself, they should wait until they have done and exhausted all investigative remedies before they tell anybody anything. All they should be saying is we're trying to investigate it to see what happens here.
But we already know, and Brother Earl, you know this as well. I'm already saying the brother was hung. You know, I don't want to hear anything else. The man was Mr. Otis James Byrd was the name of the gentleman who was found hung 500 feet away, 500 yards away from the house he was renting. And a skull cap had been in a skull. Now the body was found at 10:21 a.m. on Thursday, deep in a forest about 500 yards from the house Mr. Byrd was renting, according to the sheriff. Sheriff Marvin Lucas of Claiborne County. And now, and a skull cap had been pulled over his head. Now, do you really think, Brother Earl or Mayor Wayne Smith, do you really think that this brother had the presence of mind to pull a skull cap over his head as if he didn't want to, as if he wanted to cover his face before he killed himself? I just, if that's in fact what happened, I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
It's pretty suspect.
Brother Earl Scott, let me hear you, what you have to say about that.
I have no doubt that this may have been a violent act by some very ignorant or crazy people. Things like this happen, but when you look for the reason of why it's happening today, because of the fact that, this is my own personal feelings, when people look like you don't value your own people's lives, then why should they? You know, if you are killing each other or shooting each other down or doing the things you do to each other, then other people will have no respect for you. Now, there is a history of hanging and all those things in the past, but there is a continuous message being sent out here that blacks don't care about blacks, so why should we care about blacks? You know, we have programs showing us. This is just my opinion. I mean, like you asked me about the hanging. I firmly believe that this may have been an act of violence by some people. But I'm saying you always have to go to the root and the cause of why things happen the way they do. And everything that you see today is us being looked at as animals. So people have a tendency to say they don't care about themselves. They never care about themselves. Why should we care about them? Care about them? And one less black person is not going to mean anything. Just how I feel.
Right, but that's not. But I agree that that might be the school of thought amongst folks who don't like black folks. But it's right. No excuse for bumping us off. And we'll get to that. We'll talk about that in the Black on Black Crime segment in just a few minutes. Everybody, the Ron Kelly Show is presented, featuring Mayor Wayne Smith, is presented by BurkettPromotions.com, BIRKETT, Promotions.com. We'll get to more of that in just a little while, everybody. Welcome once again to the Ron Kelly Show, featuring Mayor Wayne Smith and Brother Earl Scott. Now, you know, again, as I just said, I'm sold that the brother was hanged. I don't care what else comes out of it. The brother was hanged. You know, because, you know, speaking of suicide, now you can look up some figures and amongst people who commit suicide by hanging themselves, and you know, for most people, they don't go out in there. How did this man get up in the tree? You know, first of all, how did he get up in the tree? How high was his feet off the ground? I mean, was there a chair left there? I mean, there's so many questions to be asked, but I'm already sold that the brother was hung. You know, I'm sold, gentlemen, that the brother was hung. I'm jumping on the hung. Somebody hung a man wagon. Now here's what the fear is, that, you know, everybody's saying, the FBI and some of the other law enforcement officials down there are saying, hey, everybody needs to pipe down and hold up, and, you know. And this is what we hear all the time, Mayor Wayne. We always hear this. Everybody needs to calm down. And, you know, and then when the evidence shows that there was some wrongdoing and the person gets off, as demonstrated by the recent acquittals of folks who have killed black folk, and, you know, why even bother to – it just seems like justice is never served. Mayor Wayne, when black folks are killed.
Well, I think that our strategy to seek justice has to be broadened. And again, a lesson from history. You know, many people think that there were people of conscience during the Civil Rights Movement who made the Civil Rights Act and other things take place. But there was also another component to that, and that was we hit them in the pocketbook. People didn't integrate the buses because they had a change in heart. They had a change in financing. So when we took our money and developed our own way to get to work, to get to the store, et cetera, and stopped patronizing them, then all of a sudden the policy changed. So as long as we got protests serve a purpose. Those are well and good. I think we should do that. But the level of our protests, I believe, needs to be broadened, where we begin to look at the economics of our society. And when we start to say, hey, we're not doing this, we're withholding our money until this stuff changes, you will see the economic forces in this country change the systematic things that kill our people overnight.
Well, see, and that's correct, because, you know, the American, black folks have billions and billions of dollars worth of economic power in the United States of America. And unlike some other ethnic groups, Jews, for example, and no disrespect to the Jews who listen to the Ron Kelly show, but some folks have just mastered how they apply their economic power to social issues. Some folks have just mastered it. And we haven't done that. And you're right that we should use some of our economic power to bring your pressure to bear on some of these representatives. But black folks out here killing black folks, we'll get to that in a little while, ladies and gentlemen, it's taken over what others think about us. You know, the first thing you think about in other ethnic groups, for example, the first thing you think about, they just kill each other. Or they just mug each other, or they just beat up each other, or they don't care. And you see black folks arguing publicly on Facebook. You see those world hip-hop videos of black folks beating each other up. So nobody just respects us anymore, Brother Earl. We're like the Rodney Dangerfields of the ethnic groups. We just don't get any respect because we're not respecting ourselves.
I am a firm believer in that. I mean, that's, you know, just like the picture Empire, they had one episode where
I like Empire.
A young man. Okay, where they had a young man hiding his father.
I like Empire.
Toy box. I'm saying, you know, things like this and these messages.
Brother, what you saying? Young man was hiding what?
Hiding his gun, hiding his father's gun.
Oh, hiding his
box.
Gun. I got you. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, this is, we're so caught up on sports and player entertainment that we don't know the effects of this down the road. You know what I mean? Plenty of messages, and people that still have respect for us. I do agree with the mayor, the honorable mayor, that we do need to build an economic base that is strong, because we think having somebody back in office, you know, that's all we need to be able to get us over the hump. But every ethnic group built economic power first, then they went into the judicial system, then they went into political power. We always have to go to other people for money because our communities do not have money.
Now, Brother Earl, you said you didn't like Empire. I like Empire. I love it. I watch it every night. No. I know you didn't say. You made a reference to Empire. I like Empire.
Right.
But there are some folks, mostly scholars and professors and people like that, who don't like Empire and say it's a poor depiction of black folks. But look at the reality of black folks compared to Empire. I think Empire is a little tame, Mayor Wayne. And you know, when you're looking at it from a black folks' point of view, but Empire,
well, you know what
it
reminds
I think it's
me
a little
of,
tame.
What I see happening, and I'm going to go back to Brother Earl's comment about what an important projection of entertainment is in our society. So I remember in the 1960s when we were not very much in Hollywood, we weren't getting a lot of action in Hollywood. All of a sudden they had what they call the blaxploitation films came out, whether
right.
that was Superfly, which glamorized the whole drug trade and showed a seamier side of people in a condition here in America. You know, but if it had not been for those blaxploitation films, there would have been a number of black actors would not have got a chance to perform, and then even some people got a chance to produce and do some other things. So I see almost a coming Empire to me represents that mentality. But we also had that whole hip hop piece, which made the B word popular. We're referring to our women and so forth. So we got this internal struggle where there is the seamier side of life seems to get the most action. Our dysfunctions and even people who overcome those dysfunctions through, you know, their misfortunes and rise above it, that gets glamorized. And the reality is not many drug dealers from the Superfly days ended up escaping like he did. Most of them ended up in prison. not many of those folks who were in the drug trade and went to jail and come back to a record company. So while we get lost in that, some of our kids think that's real. And a few people have made some of it, but that's only a few people.
Well, can I ask you this? Where's our dignity at because of the fact? I like John Amos that was portrayed on Good Times as a father that couldn't get a job, that his wife was taking care of the household. He left that show because of he had dignity for himself and character, and he put his own self out of work because of the fact the message it was sending down the line that it's okay, this is, you know, acceptable behavior. Norman Lear portrayed him as a father that can't get no work nowhere, and he walked off the show because he didn't want to be portrayed as a failure. And this is what I'm saying, is
and
the message that we sent, you know, it's very
and he wanted
important,
more money
the
too,
message
brother.
That we sent.
And he wanted, and he did, he wanted more money too, Brother Earl Scott.
Right.
He wanted more money. Yeah, he wanted more money for the show Florida. She walked off the show as well. She wanted more money as the show grew in popularity. But nobody cried. Nobody complained about Good Times. We all gathered in front of the TV. I was a little kid at the time. Gathered in front of the TV and watched Good Times, and nobody complained. Empire's number one show in the country, beating everything, white, black, Indian. Right now, Empire is the number one show in the country, and there's not enough black people in America to make anything number one. So you know who's watching that show? White folks. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back with Brother Earl Scott, and former mayor of this great city of Irvington, New Jersey, and now president and CEO of Wayne Smith & Associates, Mr. Wayne Smith. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. This is The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching out of society today?
And you, too, can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Right here on blogtalkradio.com every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. We're going to be moving the time pretty soon. And day, everybody. We're going to move back to the weekday because the show used to air at 4 o'clock. And I believe we're going to move back very, very soon. I'll post it. The Ron Kelly Show, the official website of The Ron Kelly Show is www.theronkellyshow.com. On Twitter, it's R. Kelly Show. And on Facebook, it's The Ron Kelly Show. And on Instagram, it's Radio Man One. So everybody, we got many variety of ways you can catch up with us right here on the Ron Kelly Show, joining with Mayor Wayne Smith, the great city of Irvington, New Jersey, and also Brother Earl Scott, who's a former official official of the city of Newark, New Jersey. There's a new mayor, by the way, Mayor Ros Baraka, who won his election. Ros Baraka, the son of former New Jersey poet laureate Amiri Baraka, who won over Shavar Jeffries, who was a guest of the Ron Kelly Show. Shavar Jeffries was here. Very, very, very impressed. I was overwhelmingly impressed by Shavar Jeffries. Was such an intelligent man and humbled by the same. As humble as he was intelligent, Brother Earl Scott and Mayor Wayne Smith. We have a call on the line. Good morning, Sharon Kelly Show. Hello, somewhere 3877 is the last four numbers of your area code. I mean, of your phone number, 3877. Good morning. Welcome to the Ron Kelly Show.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. How are you? Who's morning. Calling?
My name is Sylvia Warnett. Sylvia Warnett.
Good morning, Sylvia. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
Okay.
Newark.
Welcome. Glad to have you here. Do you have a comment or a question for us?
No, not right at this minute. I just wanted to congratulate y'all for your show.
Oh, great. Oh, like the conversation.
Thank you. So thank you. We aim to please here on the Ron Kelly Show. We aim to please Mayor Wayne Smith, and Earl Scott is also here as well. Okay, guys, we're going to shift gears. Well, what we were talking about, ma'am, we were talking about what were we talking about? No, we were talking.
Empire.
We're not necessarily empire, but we're talking about. Right. How can we compare? Well,
like
you know,
Black America.
Yeah. The state of Black America, you know, the man being hung. Let me ask you a question. Now, did you hear about the man being hung in Mississippi? And if you did, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I did, and I think it's terrible. You know, it seems like we're never going to get to be the great people that we are because people are always killing us off. You know.
Well, okay. Now. All right. But I hear that. Now, are you going to jump on the R. Kelly bandwagon and you're going to ride along with me and say that the man was hung or did he kill himself? What do you think? Did he kill himself or was he hung? You're going to jump on the R. Kelly bandwagon. Was he killed or did he hang himself or was he hung by someone else?
I believe he was hung by somebody else. I believe he was hung
there
by
you go.
Somebody else.
There you go. All right, we got a serious. Plenty of seats left on the Ron Kelly bandwagon. Y'all can just jump on here. Phone number 347-426-3214, 347-426-3214. On Facebook, the Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, R. Kelly Show. And on the other Instagram, it's Radio Man 1. All right, thank you, ma'am, for calling in. Thank you for your congratulations. And keep listening to the program.
I most certainly will.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. All right, everybody.
Okay.
So I got another member of the. I got someone else for the Ron Kelly bandwagon. You know, somebody killed the man. All right. Poor President Obama, brothers. President Obama has probably been kicked more than you know than a football during the NFL season. Just time after time, again and again, disrespect after disrespect. The latest one being that. Mrs. Obama looks like somebody from the Planet of the Apes. I just cannot disrespect one disrespect after the other. You know, I'm sure you've heard about the letter that they sent to Iran saying if the president and if other countries, if they make an agreement, if the agreement dies the day after the president leaves office, and now Congressman Boehner is supposed to be jetting off to, you know, the invite of the Prime Minister to come and speak before Congress, and now we're just hearing that John Boehner is going to Israel. How much disrespect can one person take? Let me ask you first, Mayor Wayne, being a elected official. I mean, just how would you put yourself in the president's place for a second? I know that might be kind of difficult to do, but as an elected official, let's say the council, for example, just went off and did what they wanted to do and didn't consult you. How would that make you feel as an elected official, as the executive of the town or country?
Well, first of all, it shows the American public how undiplomatic and how full of evil Senator McConnell and others in the Republican Party, Speaker Boehner, would do to negotiate foreign policy in violation of the Constitution.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a basic principle of even about the president, it is, are we a society of laws or are we a society of men? Clearly we are a society of laws. So in their hypocrisy to play politics, just like holding up Loretta Lynch, I mean, you raised that earlier in the show. Here's a woman that no one has questioned her competency or credentials, not a person. So why not clear her for the U.S. attorney spot? They're holding it up over a debate that they have going, and they try to mask it around human trafficking, like members of the Congress don't support the ending of human trafficking, but they attached an abortion bill. Now, people are all over the place on the question of abortion, but why attach that rider to something so critical that's going on in the world and hold up this woman who has nothing to do with that? But that's the
right.
nature of so it's just ridiculous. So, you know, in fact, the president is such a humble person. He doesn't even tout his own horn loud enough. And sometimes that's hard to do when you're in the middle of the game. But here's a person when the American economy was about to be bankrupt, criticized every move he made. Even some of his core supporters questioned him about saving the auto industry, saving the banks. But now the economy is turning, and it looks like we've come out of those darker days, and had not the president had the steady hand and the reliable hand and the thoughtful, not even being distracted by all the noises out there. He stayed the course on an agenda, listened, and got the best thoughts he could get. If anybody get a chance, they should read both Tim Geithner's book, which talks about the whole financial crisis when he took the job, and also David Axelrod's book. There's a new book that's out that he's written about his time with over. It talks about what an incredible job the president did in the midst of every naysayer in the world. So, listen, you can't tell me enough about President Obama, but he had absolutely epitome of disrespect and all that. But you know what? He still stays the course, and, you know, he ultimately usually ends up winning.
Brother Earl Scott, should he have been a little bit more gangster? I mean, I always thought that the president should have been a little more gangster. So let me ask you, Brother Earl Scott, should the president have been a little bit more gangster? I'll hear from you too, Mayor Wayne, after I hear from Brother Earl Scott. Should the president have been a little bit more gangster? Should he have been a little more Negroidian, so to speak, dealing with the GOP in the Congress?
Well, that would have gave them excuse to say that he's an angry black man, you know. So I think that what the mayor said, I think that he did what he was supposed to do. You know, I don't think he should have did it any way differently. I think that he's went about this thing. I mean, there's been time that he could have been a little bit more stronger. He could have been more, you know, outwardly and everything. But I think he did a great job personally. I just think that it's an unfortunate that when it comes to us, they always have to discredit or destroy or not let the masses see that they're successful when it's aligned to African Americans. They did it in sports with Muhammad Ali. They do it everywhere. So this holding this woman up is another, you know, it's always something because of the fact that if you see us succeed, it might wake the rest of us up. So they have to try to discredit the gentleman. I think he did a great job. But I do agree there's moments when I wish that he would have just said, like, you know what? I don't agree with you. I think you're wrong. I thought he should have been more outwardly about certain things, but he did what he needed to do, you know. And gangstering, I don't think he should have did that, but I just think he should have just been a little bit more stronger at times. The GOP, they just can't let him succeed or look that he succeeded because you would have more people look towards him as a pinnacle of success, and they don't want that. They always want to paint the picture that we're failures or the unsuccessful sort. But I do think he did a great job turning the economy around, inheriting what he did, that whole Bush situation. So I give him kudos, you know, but I give him, out of so far in his presidency, I give him like a B+.
Yeah, well, the whole idea is for everyone to – they're trying to convince white folks to – dispel the notion of ever electing another black person as president again. But Mayor Wayne, I think he should have said, when they talked about him, he should have said, your mama.
No, he should have said it. Oh, he should have said it. Listen, I tell you when he should have exhibited a little bit more strength and executive leadership. and he probably wouldn't have the problems he had today. But he was trying to be too fair. Was when the when the Democrats had control of Congress, he should have rammed through everything he was trying to get done. But he was also a new president. He was learning. He also ran on the idea, and he didn't realize how partisan people were going to be and how entrenched certain forces in Washington are. But he said, I'm going to work with both parties. I'm going to compromise. I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to show the American public that these political parties can work together. And what he found out in that first term was that was a misnomer. But he had a majority.
Right.
And everything that he wanted to get done, he would have, it had been Bill Clinton, he would have rammed it through there.
You know what?
That's the thing.
But what bothers me is that because of our race or because of this thing called race and all this, it just seems as though we always have to be extra careful and walk on eggshells about stuff. Not only does the president, I thought she says, not only do I have a log in my eye, but you got a log in your own eye too. So I'm saying, but it comes to race. Sometimes it seems like we always have to be careful what we say, what we do, how we approach things, and that's the unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that was one of the things that held him back from doing that. But, you know, I think, you know, that's the only gangster move, Ron, that I would have done. When I had the majority, I would have listed my things I would have got done and tried to get them done then. Because as he found out midterm after his reelection, it was very difficult.
Right.
Yeah, but even the second term, I think that he should have been more aggressive in the second term. I mean, hey, look. You know, he doesn't. You're not going to get elected again. You got two terms and you're out. So I think in the second term, he should have been a little bit more, yeah, a little bit more aggressive in the second term, a little bit more gangster. You know, these people was, you know, it's like somebody who keeps getting beat up, and they just, you keep getting beat up, and you just go home and don't say anything.
Well,
you know,
the same skills that got you someplace, sometimes it requires a different set when you get there. But that's him. The president is a diplomat. He's a scholar. He's not one of these guys that really tries to ram it in your face. I mean, on some things he will, because, I mean, nature, you can't survive in politics unless you have some gangster in you. But the idea that it's just that for him to just kind of ram, it's just not him.
No, and it's him to just keep, and I just don't believe that the president is so the president is so diplomatic. I mean, I'm sure that the president's got some gumption in him somewhere, and he just really hasn't.
Well, listen, he had gumption to even run for president, so we know he got gumption. That is
right, but it's not right because I personally didn't think he was going to win.
Yeah, look, it is number one.
I didn't think he was going to win.
First term
senator.
Go ahead.
The first time he ran,
I didn't think he was going to win.
I thought when he first ran, where I saw him really show up is when he was a candidate and they went after his wife and he got on TV and said, told everybody that, you know, our wives is awful, you know, out of bounds, don't go there. I saw some gumption in him that time when it came to his family addressing, let's keep the wives and the children and stuff off base, attack me, but don't leave that alone. I thought he showed some,
you know.
That.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mayweather.
No, I'm good.
No.
I agree with you.
No, I think that. Well, I don't agree with either one of you. I think he should have.
I think he should have been like,
meet me on the south lawn, and we can handle this the way we used to do in the hood. All right.
Take McConnell to task, huh?
That would have been a homicide. McConnell too old to fight. He'd have to fight Dana because McConnell is like 150, so he probably have to fight. Dana's the youngest. Obama's younger than. I don't think Dana's younger than Obama because I think what is Obama like 50, somewhere around there.
Very young.
Yeah, Obama is young. So and he plays basketball. He's in shape. So they need to just stay. Stay up there at Capitol Hill. But I do think the president should have been a little bit more gangster. I don't – maybe not to the point where he's, just gets beside himself, but I do think that he should have been a little more vocal because that's what the people were looking for. And
well, I think, to use that executive power of yours, which he is doing in the second term. He said, if Congress won't cooperate, I'm going to use my executive power to try to get some things done. So he,
right.
I mean, he is, I mean, and they're crying bloody murder, violation of the Constitution, da-da-da-da. So he is, look, he told them, he said, listen, I'm not playing with y'all. Y'all don't want to work together. I'm going to do the, I'm an executive order everything that I can.
Yeah, what they
yeah, I think
was
should be
illegal.
More vocal.
What they did
You're
was
right.
illegal.
You're right. What they did is illegal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they just don't care.
It needs to be more
care.
Vocal. I mean, more aggressive about being more vocal and to speak to the American people and to letting people know, like, look at what's happening. You know, they're usurping his authority as the president of the United States, who everybody knows shapes foreign policy. Foreign policy is on the president. Then you had Netanyahu to come over here. And Netanyahu, now how do you make a campaign stop at another? You make a campaign stop in another country. Now, how the hell does that work? Where he, you know, you're on the campaign trail, you know, and you go to another country and make a speech, you know,
yeah,
and
that
was clearly, that was clear, that was clearly a campaign. It was a campaign stop in the Congress, you know, I'm going to tell you, I got to give it to the Jewish people. I mean, I'm not kicking it back to them, but I got to give it to them. They got America on lockdown, let me tell you, because you can't even run for anything, especially anything on a, you know, trying to get the D.C., be it the Senate, Congress, especially not the president, without pledging your allegiance to Israel. And what other country do you have to pledge your allegiance to? You don't have to pledge your allegiance to France. Or the United Kingdom, which have been long-term allies of the United States of America and NATO and all. Israel is a tiny little country who couldn't really help us if something happened. What are they going to do? You know, what are they going to do? How can they help us? So, I give it to them. But I do think that the president should have been a little bit more vocal. All right, everybody, we'll take our last break, and we'll come back with Mayor Wayne Smith and Brother Earl Scott. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com and on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh, no. I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETTPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A+ rating.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show.
Lamont Gates.
Well, speaking of Lamont Gates, you can check Lamont out this afternoon, 2:30, I believe it is. It's Real Social Talk with Lamont Gates, my co-host at one time, off and on. Lamont Gates, you can check him out. It's Real Social Talk this afternoon, 2:30, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Real Social Talk radio. But just for now, it's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith, great city of Irvington, New Jersey, and president and CEO of Wayne Smith & Associates, and also Brother Earl Scott from the official city, great city of Newark, New Jersey. And all right, here's the thing. people are burying their house. Let me tell you something. People are burying their heads in the sand. I believe people are burying their heads in the sand in regards to black on black crime. Nobody's talking about it. Do you know, Mayor Wayne Smith and Earl Scott, that in the 513 days it took from the time that Trayvon Martin got shot, killed, for example, from the day that Trayvon Martin was killed
to the day that George Zimmerman was acquitted, it took 513 days. Do you know, in those 513 days, there were 11,000 killings of black folks by black folks in those 513 days. And nobody is talking about black-on-black crime, so-called black-on-black crime. Nobody is talking about it. We're talking about everything but that. The police. Well, I'm not afraid of the police, personally speaking. Everybody, 347-426-3214, 347-426-3214, if you want to call into the program and address any of us. Now, when I walk out my door and I jump in one of my cars, the last thing I'm worried about is the police. That's last thing I'm worried about. I don't worry about them, you know.
Right.
But I'm more likely to have a gun stuck in my face by somebody with the same skin color as I than to be killed by the police.
Right.
You know, Brother Earl Scott, let me come to you first, Brother Earl. What are your thoughts on that? And do you think that people are missing the boat when it comes to black folks killing other black folks?
Of course we are. And I have two sons, and I fear someone looking like them killing them than I do the police. You know, that's just the way I feel about it. It's a different time. I live in Newark. I couldn't even take the chance on buying my son a bike because I was afraid somebody would try to take it from him with a gun. My son was robbed on Park Avenue and Clifton Avenue and had a gun put to his head for his cell phone a few years back. And so, you know, it wasn't a cop. It wasn't a white cop. It wasn't none of that. It was somebody that looked like us. And I'm always apprehensive, as you are, when I get in my car and I pull up to a light and they won't move out the street or they're in the street or whatever. It's us. We're killing one another. And nobody's addressing that. Nobody is dealing with that. But let someone white or a cop kill somebody, then we're all out in outrage. You know, so
right,
right. And that's the crime within itself. You know what I mean? That we're not addressing that. You know what I mean?
I think there is a group in
Let me
Newark,
ask you, Mayor Wayne, you have,
There are some efforts out there to deal with that. There's a group, and I can't recall the name, that a brother by the name of Bashir Akinyele, who teaches, I believe, at Weekway. They've had mass protests, and I think Mayor Baraka, while he was a private citizen, was one of the founders of the group. So they would be out there bringing attention to black-on-black crime when somebody was shot, not just by the police, but by any kind of shooting. They would always appear on that particular scene and so forth and so on. Very active, not only in the city of Newark, but in Irvington as well and other places. So there is some effort out there, and our effort today to talk about this is a part of that effort to broaden the conversation. I don't think you can go into any black community today where that's not a prevalent discussion. So here are the challenges for us. What do we do about, and it's primarily young folks who are engaged in a lot of the antisocial behavior, but when you begin to look at the data, you'll see that it's also adults up to their 30s that are engaged in this. And many of them are chronically involved in crime, drugs, gangs, all those kinds of things. So we've got a lot of work to do to fill the gap in terms of how do we stop young men in particular, but there are more and more young ladies getting engaged in this vis-a-vis what we saw on the screen that happened over there. I guess that was in Brooklyn with the young ladies recently.
McDonald's. Yeah,
so we've got to, as a society, we've got to do a better job at kind of intervening in those places where we traditionally don't go. No matter where you live in our community, there are neighborhoods that are just a little bit better than some of our more challenged neighborhoods, but they're right around the corner from each other. I mean, I was born and raised in Newark. You know, some people surprisingly say to me, well, you grew up in the city. Da, 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 da. I said, well, the Newark I grew up in, there were neighborhoods and people looked out for each other. So it's kind of a different time frame. My wife is a retired Newark cop. I have a son. So I'm equally as afraid, and I coach my son he's an activist. He's in college now. He's very active in Black Life Matters. So he's as concerned with the police, and we also coach him to be concerned about everything that happens around him, just being aware of the neighborhoods you venture in and out and the potential in some neighborhoods where activity is likely to happen more than not. But listen, it can happen to you anywhere. It can happen to you in the best streets in New York City. It can happen to you as a young lawyer found out at Short Hills Mall. I mean, these things can happen anywhere. We have a very violent society. There are too many guns on the street. And so unless we lick that problem, and to be quite frank, until it begins to hit people like Congresswoman Gifford and all those kinds of folks who will influence the broader society and the young man that it happened in Short Hills, that we'll begin to try to get something done about the guns. But despite all that, despite what happened in Connecticut and places like that, which kind of left our neighborhoods where those violent acts happened, we still have this love fest with guns. And nobody wants to take anybody's second right to bear arms to protect your home. But you don't need a Gatling gun to protect your home, and you don't need a Gatling gun to go hunting. So, you know, people
want
to have...
No, you don't.
You don't need an assault weapon. If you want to hunt, I don't want to take away your right to hunt. And the right to bear arms...
No, you don't need an assault weapon to hunt.
Yeah,
These
people want to have all these kinds of things and fall in love with guns, and our communities are devastated. In our communities, when people have a challenge in one neighborhood, our community, if they have a cold, we have pneumonia.
Yeah, correct. I think, do we have Lamont Gates on the line? Is that Lamont Gates?
Yes, indeed.
Real
how
Social
you doing, Rob?
Talk Radio? Good
yes,
morning,
indeed.
Lamont
how you
Gates.
Doing? Good morning,
doing
good
well,
morning.
Sir. Good morning,
did you say
Wayne,
Bill
Wayne Smith and Earl. The Lamont Gates, Real Social Talk. I just know
okay.
Not Bill Gates. I wish he was.
I'm a few billion dollars short of that.
You see our faces on every billboard in America. Go ahead, Lamont.
Listen, just tuned in, heard the conversation on black violence, and I heard I believe it was the mayor who spoke about a particular group trying to curb black-on-black violence whenever a shooting goes down. Here's my perspective on this, and, I'll take the last word, whatever the case may be, but here's my perspective on this. The way that I believe you can really, really curb this is not through these local politicians, unfortunately not through these elected officials in our towns and communities. How did all these marches go on for Eric Gardner and Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin? I think the mayor just mentioned Black Lives Matter. That went on through a big media process. If the media stepped up and stopped stirring this race pot about white cops and black teens and started talking more about black-on-black violence, I think the youth who are watching these things will be more inspired to get up and start marching a little bit more and start addressing this problem. So my concern is with the actual media and what they're choosing to display across your television and what they're not choosing to display across your television.
Well, I think, Lamont, that the media probably thinks that saying Black Lives Matter rather than addressing black-on-black crime is probably more politically correct, Lamont. And the media probably feels that there'd be more of a backlash, and it'd be perceived as if the media was attacking black folk by pointing out black on black crime rather than to do this Black Lives Matter thing. That's what I think.
We got a lot of black anchors, a lot of black commentators who aren't even talking about these things on CNN. They've got a number of black commentators. But these guys are actively, constantly going after white cops as if that's happening on a daily basis. As you stated, 11,000 murders between the 500-day span of Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. You had 11,000, and I'm surprised there's not more, actually, black-on-black issues of crime. So where are the black commentators who have all the rights to go on there and start talking about these things?
But look who they're working for, Lamont. You know, right. All black radio personalities, Joyner, these people, even Reverend Al. You know, Reverend Al doesn't talk about black on crime that much either. but he works for the white-owned media, MSNBC, these distribution companies, ABC Networks, et cetera, are owned by white folks. And they're the ones who set the standard. And they may hire you, but you still have to say what they want you to say, and I do believe that they're under the gun in regards to that.
Yeah, I don't really believe that. I believe that it's a double standard issue with a lot of these guys. They don't want to admit that the black on black crime is as bad as it is, because they'd rather focus on a white cop shooting a black person, even though it doesn't happen nearly as much as black on black crime. I believe just like the N-word can be used by blacks and not by whites, it's a double standard issue with these black commentators and these black news anchors and the people, as you just spoke about, concerning Reverend Al Sharpton and Joyner and even Mike Basden and so on, and the list goes on. I think this is really a problem in our communities, and these people
have a voice. Yeah.
Certainly everybody's raised some valid points. The question is, and I think, Ron, you're about the task, and so are you, Mr. Gates. We have to create other media voices. And, you know, sometimes we have to slug it out with each other to kind of get a point across. Like, I'll take a classic example. Byron Allen launched a lawsuit to raise a discussion about black media. You know, he said, you know, the NAACP, the Urban League, and National Action Network cut a deal with Comcast so that shows and donations are given, but what we need is independently owned black media. So he's involved with the group, the National African American Media Owners. You know, I was on a radio show earlier in the week talking about some of the social events I'm engaged in through my business, and the only black-owned radio station left in New Jersey. And so and that was an opportunity with Comcast to talk about creating, you know, independently owned channels, more ownership. So, you know, through this process, it's never perfect. But, you know, what you guys are doing is creating independent voices. We need more of that. And so that the prevailing view is not just what a certain segment of society wants. That's what that whole fight at the FCC was about over the Internet. You got to have an Internet that the public has access to. You can't have one that has super speed and one that ordinary citizens, you know, the message may get through. So, you know, every day we've got to fight. I'm involved with a project now where we're creating a daily newspaper for Newark. Star Ledger left the city. You know, we could cry about that, you know, or we can create and even though, you know, we'll have an online presence too, we're going to have a print paper because we still have the digital divide out there. And so right now, the Star Ledger costs $1.50. For some seniors, $1.50 is a meal. They decide whether or not they buy something that's for lunch or for dinner, and so they're not buying the paper anymore, so and they're not on the computer. So we're creating
And they raised the price, too, man. Brother Earl Scott.
Yeah, it's
$1.50
a day.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
so, it weighs like 10 pounds. It's probably too heavy for the CDs to carry home.
So we've got to create what you guys are doing. I applaud you for doing it, because we have to create, you know, independent voices out there that raise the issues. And they're not always sexy or popular issues, but at the end of the day, it creates the kind of dialogue that's healthy for the growth of any society. You know, you'll find that if you navigate government, you got to know what everybody's thinking. So sometimes you read some papers that you wouldn't necessarily read. Sometimes you go online to see what the other folks are thinking. That's what's great about this democracy, because you can have these kind of discussions, and it leads to some progress as people begin to think. And the one thing that our people need more, probably than anything else, is to do some real serious thinking about their condition.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but get that to go across the major media outlets.
I mean, I agree with a lot of what was said as far as the media and the so-called leaders that's out here, but I think that the foot soldiers, the people in the trenches, because it was people like myself that was a contributor of why the decay in the community is the way it is today. And I think people like myself and others that need to go out into these communities and let people know, because young kids today can't see a promise.
Okay.
They can't see a promise, or just
don't
want to pay a price.
Okay, we have to leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you guys
for
coming in. We'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next week in another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. We are out.
Thank you. Bye-bye.